Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. If you've been to probably just one Christian wedding ceremony, chances are you've heard that verse before. It's from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And earlier on in that same chapter, Paul writes, "If I speak in the tongues of men or angels, but do not have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing." As we continue the journey of Advent, we look toward the birth of Jesus on Christmas Day with hope and anticipation. Last week, we talked about approaching the manger with an attitude of vulnerability. We see God become vulnerable in the form of a helpless baby, starting something that would change the world from that day on. We asked the question, what does it look like when we step outside of the scripted nostalgia of the Christmas season, make ourselves vulnerable, and experience the wonder that God has in store for us? In 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, the Bible says this: "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love." God is love. If that's true, then Paul's words from 1 Corinthians are way more than just cute instructions for newlyweds. They are possibly the most practical description of God that we have. What if we look at this picture of God through the lens of the Christmas story? What do we see? If love is patient, then God should be patient, right? That is, in fact, one of the first things we find in the Christmas story. God chooses to become love incarnate, or love made into skin and bones, not through some spontaneous divine revelation, but over a period of 9 months, patiently waiting to be knit together, just like us. Born a helpless baby in need of care, just like us. This entry into the world is drenched in humility from almost every perspective. There isn't a hint of pride or boastfulness in it. Love comes down humbly and is given freely. There is nothing we can do to earn this gift of love from God. It simply is. In his book, A Bigger Table, author John Pavlovitz says this: "I grew up believing that God loved me dearly. I also grew up believing that God was very angry with me. I was taught that God personally created me and yet was immediately displeased by my sinfulness. So my very earliest identity was forged in the crucible of this unsettling duplicity. I was both adored and resented by my Creator. As a child, I lived in the tension of being the object of both the wrath and the love of God simultaneously. As I grew, I was told I needed to find and do and believe what would tip the scales from punishment to reward, from damnation to salvation, from abandonment to blessing. I had to remove the massive barrier between myself and God to bridge the wide expanse between the two of us, which somehow was me." Now, I don't know how many of you can relate to that, but it resonated with me. If love is not self-seeking or easily angered and keeps no record of wrongs, why was I taught to be so afraid of God? How could a God who loves me so dearly withhold that love from me until I take the appropriate steps or say the right words or claim the purest theology? More and more I see that God's love is always freely given. The thing that makes me a Christian is not anything that I've done to earn access to love. It's simply that I've chosen to receive it. Nothing that I can do or say separates me from that love. Now, there's a couple things I want to address here. First, some of you might be saying, this sounds like a free pass, do whatever makes you feel good, it doesn't really matter kind of theology. It's not. If I'm doing whatever makes me feel good, that's selfishness or pride, not love. Love is moving us in a direction, growing us, and shaping us to be kingdom builders. Love is pressing on our hearts to create spaces and communities and families and relationships that grow, that shine onto the world around them and offer selflessness, peace, and forgiveness. Love transforms us and changes our priorities. Now, some of you might be asking, well, if I don't need to earn this love, why am I still anxious? Why am I still stressed out or afraid? And that's a really good question, and one that I'm still wrestling with myself. When I look at how Jesus responded to those who were afraid, alone, outcast, and sick, I noticed something incredible. He stopped and he listened. He didn't shy away from the hard conversations that are part of being human. He offered to simply see and hear those that came to him in distress, and many of them found healing. If you're hurting, tired, angry, or sad, I'd like you to ponder this question. What is the conversation I can only have by being in the situation I find myself in? If Jesus were sitting next to you at the table, what would you ask of him? Make that your prayer. Share that with a trusted friend. Let love begin to stir in you and those around you. A full, abundant life doesn't mean that I have all the things I want. It means I have all the love I need. Know that love lives within you, right now. It is the gift we anticipate at Christmas, and it cannot be earned, only received. And if the troubles you are up against seem insurmountable, if you don't know the next faithful step to take, remember this as you pray. Love never fails. Let's pray. God, thank you for bringing us together to church today. Thank you for the gift of Jesus, for the incredible gift of your presence in the world, and the symbol and the signal that sends to us that there is nothing we have done or can do to earn your love or to be excluded from it. Each of us, no matter who we are or where we are, is simply love. Let us be reflections of that love this Advent season. Let us be a people who expand love around us. Move us, shape us. Let love be our guiding light, because God, you are love. Help us to live into that identity. Help us to recognize the love that lives within inside of us so that we can share it with others and build your kingdom here and now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.